the screen is gone, but
there you go, right there. And on the next slide, February calendars are available in the back. And worship team practices are Tuesdays and Wednesdays after school, pretty much. We're still looking for vocalists, instrumentalists, technicians for the soundboard and PowerPoint, and actors for the drama team. And there's a Thursday practice, February 24th at 4:30, and I believe that's mandatory, right?
Yeah.
All right. Easter music. Rehearsals are Sundays from 3 to 5, and or Thursdays from 6 to 8. There's info in the back. Check out our website at cefcyouth.com. There's 80 new pictures and a little outside. Audio devotionals are available in the back, and if you haven't listened to them, they're pretty good, so I would pick one up. Drama team, see Savannah or Chevelle.
If you want to join.
That's not how you spell my name. Raise your hand anyway. Oh, yeah.
Excuse
me?
That'd be us. Don't raise your hand.
That's what I think.
Next slide. Spring Fest tickets are available online.
Get them! iTickets.com.
iTickets.com.
Mexico
2011, the next meeting is Sunday, February 6th, which is this Sunday.
Let me cut in real quick. Because of all the violence and stuff like that, we had to cancel Mexico because as of Sunday, 17 additional people were killed, and one including was a missionary who was shot in the back of the head. So because of that, we're not doing Mexico this year. We'll have additional stuff for you guys. We'll be going, and we'll be doing some work in Sacramento with Habitat for Humanity and a couple other places. So if you're interested in that, we'll have more stuff for you next week. Go ahead, Jake.
So no Mexico. Wednesday dinners, some of us walk up from the high school after school every day, and Michelle is nice enough to make us dinner. So talk to Michelle if you are interested in that. There's a girls' tea party this Sunday.
Yeah! Woo!
And it's going to be, what I've heard is it's going to be amazing. And bring your girlfriends, whatever they're called. Girls' Bible study, it's on January 30th, which is past for like a month now. Michelle.
Still every Sunday.
Every Sunday?
It started the 30th.
Alright. If you're not sure if you're interested, check the February calendar. It'll give you the exact dates.
Alright. The Staying True Girls Conference is on March 26th, and we got to see a clip of the speaker last week, and she was actually really funny. So, you should go.
If you're a girl.
Hey, what if I know a girl? Can I go?
No. Dance with me. I was going for 3-4 years. I'm still not allowed.
This is an
This is the junior high's next series. It's called Life and Love. And it looks like you guys will be studying stress, choices, true value, and purpose. I was trying to use the acronym there.
Yeah, no
argument, sorry. All right, and the senior high fellowship is the truth about sex. It's about guys and girls and boundaries and forgiveness, and there's a lot of people. Unrestrained is the theme of the senior high winter retreat coming up pretty soon here, and talk to Jackson for more details on that one. I think
it's really cool.
The logo for the winter camp has still not been decided, and if you get it, if we decide to use your logo, you're going to get $75 off or something like that.
Danielle, that's for you.
And Della.
Okay, real quick. Is there anybody that still wants to turn in a logo that hasn't done it yet?
A logo? Like Raiders?
Yeah. I see. Real quick. Hands raised. Okay. then what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to skip the rest of these, okay? This is what I need you guys to do, though, okay? In order to make this work, because time is really tight, okay? We were originally going to show you the rest of the logo designs that people have already turned in, but in order to make it fair for everybody, we're not going to do that. So, Dan, if you can exit out of this screen and then go to the worship set.
Okay.
Dude, just... Okay. If you happen to see the logo, go ahead. So there were several different logo options. If you can get it put together for... Okay.
Yeah,
okay, in order to make it good for everybody, we're going to decide it... ooh, this is around the corner. Okay. Sunday. Okay, so what I need is you either need to email me your picture, or turn it in to me earlier so we can put it on display. Okay? So I need to have those electronically no later than Sunday, 6 o'clock in the morning. Like in my hard drive. In my laptop. Okay? So, and then a worship team, if you can come on up, we're gonna go.
Everybody should stand up. Please, stand up.
Everybody, please stand up, please.
All right, I'm up.
I think your mic is on.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's like so low. Dear Lord, I just pray for tonight. I just pray that Jackson's message will just hit some people and that it'll just be really good and that worship goes well tonight. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start off with Beautiful One.
Oh, that's not a Revelation song.
Okay, so we're going to go through it. We're going to print it out. Okay. Sheriff, divide. acts of the Revelation song.
Thank you.
Lord, tonight we ask that you would reveal yourself to us. We ask that this time and this place would be holy, that it be set aside for you. And as we take this time apart for you, to connect with you, to listen to what you have to say to us, we ask that you would be with everybody that's helping to bring the message tonight. We thank you that things, even though things may not always go the way we plan or the way we think or the way we want, nothing takes you by surprise. And so even though some of us are going through some really tough, intensive times, some of us are tired, some of us are questioning why in the world we're here, we ask that tonight that you would just be good for all of us. That'd be something that would encourage us, that would challenge us, that would bring us closer to you. And somehow, some way, we ask that you would help bring us closer to each other. Thanks, God. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight, again, I wanted to welcome you guys to our first annual Agape Feast. Now, if we've taken some time tonight for food, for games, and a time of worship, tonight's program is a little different from some of the things that we've done in the past. I'll explain that in a minute, but I think it's good to clarify kind of what agape is. Dan, if you could help me out, though, in the back, if you could push that back to the... it's not on this one, it's in the previous one with the announcements. As we flip back to the PowerPoint for tonight, I want to kind of walk you guys through some of the ideas and parts of what tonight's all about. Agape, it sounds kind of weird, and part of the reason why it sounds weird is because it's not English. Agape is one of four words in Koine, or classical Greek. They call it koine because it's another word for common. Actually, it's a Greek word for, or one of the Greek words for common. And in Greek, they have four different words that describe love: phileo, eros, storge, and agape. The simplest of these definitions come to these. Phileo is kind of a love of a friend. Just scroll down to the bottom. The idea of phileo, it's the love of a friend. This is where we get the word Philadelphia. Do what you can, man. All right, so as you're figuring out, don't worry about the screen. But let me just kind of give you some background. When you think of phileo, let's go to the next one. Phileo, basically, it's the idea of, like, Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's why they call it Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Then you have eros, which is a romantic love. We don't need to talk about that tonight. That's next week. Storge is kind of the love of a parent to a child. And then we have agape, which is what we're going to focus on tonight. Now, agape is a sacrificial and it's an unconditional love. In the Bible, agape appears 147 times in 109 verses. It covers two different concepts: God's love for us and the love that God desires his children to show to others. Now, we're going to look more at these ideas, but before we do, I kind of wanted to open up to you guys that we're going to do some things a little differently tonight. So it's really important not only that you pay attention, but you got to keep it kind of low because otherwise you're going to miss some stuff tonight. So tonight, as we talk about the love that God has for us, I think it's important to address some of the things that we may call love today. To help us with that, Chevelle Williams has gotten a group together as a part of her senior project to help us do that. Now, these sketches can be pretty short, so I need you to please make sure you pay close attention. Now, tonight we're going to look at several passages of Scripture, and the first one comes from Ephesians chapter 5, and as we look at this next slide, I'll kind of walk you through it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." Now, God tells us to do this, but sometimes we have something else in mind. Go back one. So if you have a black slide, we're going to stop there. Okay, so in order to kind of help us with this, we have this one sketch, and hopefully you guys are ready. This first one is called "What's Her Problem?"
Thank you for breaking
was my monologue. What's your problem? So, Bill, listen to this. I was up all night, freaking, man. Just freaking out. How am I gonna tell her? How am I gonna tell her that I was sleeping with another girl at Rick's party on Saturday? Well, I wouldn't really call it flirting. I mean, technically, yes. She kissed me on the cheek, and I don't know, Bill. I kissed her on the cheek back, and we talked for like, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. And yeah, she did give me her phone number, but I mentioned Julie's name like twice in that entire conversation. You know, something along the lines of, you know, my girlfriend Julie said, you know what I'm talking about, Bill? It's something cool. Yeah, I was not flirting. So, anyway, Bill, me and Julie were out last night, you know, we went to go catch a movie. And even though I had nothing to feel guilty about, I still wanted to talk to her about this girl. You know, because she could hear it from someone else, one of her friends, maybe. And I didn't want to give her the wrong idea. Don't need that on my plate right now. So, after the movie, we go out to go grab a bite to eat, and I bring up the subject. I mentioned that I chatted very briefly with this girl I met at Rick's party, and yeah, that's pretty much what I do. Now here's the strange part, Bill. I was thinking maybe she'd get angry or get jealous, but it'd be no big deal. But she stared at me very calm-like. She asked me to tell me more about this. So I start to tell the whole story about how we were hanging out and the whole phone number thing, thinking it's no big deal. This isn't going to affect me in any way. She takes a long moment and pauses. And then she says, Jimmy, when you're ready to figure out your self-esteem problems, figure those all out. Come talk to me. She says, it's not about me. It's not about me. She tells me that I have to try and prove something to myself to think I'm attractive or desirable. So, I take her home and that's where the conversation ends. Well, Bill, I just feel like she's been ringing by the phone. Self-esteem issues. What's her problem? That's it.
Alright. As we look at that, let's look at the rest of this passage. Verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talking, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Verse 6. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse you these things, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. Verse 8. For you were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people as light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. You know, when we look at a lot of what the world tells us is totally okay, especially in that last scene, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's like, it wasn't my fault, I wasn't chasing the person, Jesus, give me a number, whatever. It becomes so common for us to just kind of blow stuff off. it becomes so common for us to do things that many of us forget what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. To really show the love that God asks us to requires really being different. It means that what we say, what we do, how we talk, it needs to be different. Now sometimes though, it's really tough to look past our own circumstances. Sometimes we're stuck comparing ourselves to others. Now I want to show you another example. This one, Chevelle's going to come up and she's going to share with us. It's the idea of what do you do? Okay? Because sometimes as we deal with stuff, we can't always stay focused. Because things happen. Okay? But as things happen, we need to figure out what we're going to focus on and who we're going to focus on.
Didn't memorize this because I'm a terrible person. Well, that was fun. Really, my grandparents came for the ceremony. My brother made a big sign that said, miracles can happen. It was fun. So all I have to do is clean out my room, then I'll meet my parents for dinner. Then, after dinner, I'll... Well, then what? I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do then. My roommate is getting married, if you can believe that. We're almost in a new millennium, and there are still girls joining sororities and getting married right out of college. It's crazy, huh? My friend Janet was an international marketing major, whatever that means. At least it's specific. It sounds like the kind of thing that could actually lead to a job in international marketing, no less. My major was English. English, what am I supposed to do with that? What does that lead to? Everyone speaks English. The only thing I can think of is going to graduate school. And I don't know what else to do. I've been in school since I was 5, and before that I was in preschool. And now that I've graduated with a degree in English, I'm just to kick the habit. I can't imagine a life that doesn't begin at 7 in the morning and end at 3 in the afternoon, with summers off. Everybody says a bachelor's in English doesn't do you much good anyway. They say I should go to graduate school and get my master's. I guess that's what I need. But a master's in what? I keep feeling like I should know what to do. Like everybody else has a secret little map that tells them the next step. Only I never got a map, or I lost it or something. And it's not like I'm afraid of the future, it's more like I'm mad at it. Like an overdue package that never arrived. And someday I'll find out it arrived so quietly I missed it. So maybe I'll go get another degree. Something more marketable. The only thing I'm worried about is that 3 years from now I'll be standing here just like I am today, asking, now what? Oh well, there's always a PhD.
When you look at how other people respond in life, let's back up a little bit. If you're a senior like Chevelle is, or maybe like the character she just played, it would be really easy for you over the next couple months to get stuck just looking at what everybody else is doing, or maybe just to turn everything off and ignore everything, because it's not going to be about, well, it's just because you don't care, because you got senior and it's really bad. But there's still going to be that pull to kind of compare yourself from one person to another. But honestly, I think this is also applicable to you if you're, whether it be that you're a junior higher or a high schooler or just an adult. Because the temptation is to focus on what other people are doing. The temptation is to focus on what other people have. And sometimes it can be incredibly difficult for us to know what the next step in your life really needs to be. 1 John chapter 3, as we go to the next slide, it helps lay it out for us. This is what it says, 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will help keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Verse 4. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Verse 7. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. This is a message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Now, this idea of loving one another, before we go to this next skit, that last set of verses we just went through, that covers a lot of material. It covers the part that if you really love God, you can't turn your back on God on a regular basis. We all have problems with sin. That means we all have problems doing dumb, stupid things. Whether it be upsetting people or just purposely being bad to people, that's just kind of part of human nature. But what this passage is saying here is this. If you have a personal relationship with Christ, you're not going to make it a habit to hurt other people. You're not going to make it a habit to try to hurt God. So if you know what you're supposed to do, we're all going to have times where we mess up. That's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about, though, it's about taking time out to really focus. To take time out to, like, really put some time and effort into participating and coming together. Okay? So this next skit, it helps to illustrate this idea, as well as the idea that struggles are involved. This one is called Neighbors.
Which is all four of you.
Yeah. Okay, not that way.
Oh, hey there, pal. Remember me? Sure you do. We used to work together. Oh, man, the times we had. Talking about how much money I make, and me telling you all the stories about my life. Whew. Like that story about going to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Jeez. When I got so drunk, they found me 6 days later in Western Utah with no memory of what happened. Whew. Crazy times. You should have been there. Really. Or maybe not, right? I mean, let's not kill ourselves. I used to drive you nuts. Crazy. You loved your job until I came along. You'd see me coming, and you'd find any excuse to get away from me. Remember that one time?
You were late for an appointment, something you can't even recall now. But it was crucial that you got there in time. You were blazing down the road like a madman when all of a sudden, a car as big as a battleship pulled out in front of you, weaving all over the road at 10 miles an hour. You blew your horn at the driver, who was so short you couldn't even see her head over the seat. Now I understand your frustration, but at the time, did you really need to use that kind of language as you blew by me? I guess I can't really expect.
You try to make eye contact with me, because, you know, that's all the encouragement I need to approach and ask for a small favor, a dime, a quarter. Every little bit helps when you start with nothing. But you say to yourself, how do I know you won't use it to buy drugs or alcohol? No way of knowing, is there? That would require talking, getting to know me better, And we both know that's not going to happen because you're just not comfortable
being friendly with me. I mean, after all, your family chose this house and subdivision based on the kind of people you saw watering their lawn or walking their dogs. Happy moms and dads with their kids and pets. The all-American dream, right? Then that nice old couple you lived with who lived across the street, you know, the ones who had you over for dinner when you moved in, sold their house to me and my girlfriend. Now that's not what you expected for neighbors now, is it? I mean, admit it, when you found out who we were, you didn't let your kids come out and play as often, right? I mean, the last thing you wanted was for you, your kids hanging around
with someone as boisterous as me. Isn't that it? I'm not only a big windbag, and it embarrasses me. I see you shy away when your friends come by. You don't want them to get a load of the likes of me. Well, you'll be happy to know.
The feeling is mutual. Does it bother you to hear a fragile thing like me say that? No, you say? I don't need to spend time with an old lady. Well, good, because I don't need to spend time
with a hypocrite.
Now, I have your attention, don't I? What is that old drunk to call you a hypocrite? How can I judge you on your faith? I never go to your church. I never will. Because I don't believe.
I'd meet Jesus there. See, I do know a little thing or two about Jesus. Enough to know that he was nothing like you. He always talked to people who other people thought were a little...
undesirable.
A nuisance. An outcast.
Sinful.
I know a thing or two about Jesus. I know what he said about people like you and me.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Love your neighbor as yourself. How can you profess to love Jesus if you can't love me?
That speaks intensely for itself, but to kind of follow it up and kind of look back at what they were quoting from, let's look at this next passage. Actually, we continue the passage in verse 11. This is what it says. This is a message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one who killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Not because Cain had been doing what was evil. And his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Just in case if you missed that, because some of you guys are kind of looking lost, let me repeat that for you. Okay, this is what it says. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life within them. Verse 16. We know what real love is, because Jesus gave his life for us. Now, in looking at this passage, it's pretty plain to see. Hold on a second. It's pretty plain to see the importance of the love that God has for us and the love that he shows. Okay? Because he showed us true agape love, true sacrificial love, true selfless love, true unconditional love by giving up his own life on a cross. Knowing that millions would reject him, and that millions of us would claim to be his while turning around and disgracing his name. But in this, he clearly marks out what needs to be done. This continues saying this, so we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Verse 18, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with full boldness, confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him, and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. Now, as God calls us to become His children and choose to live like this, life offers a bunch of different opportunities, a bunch of different options, a bunch of distractions, and a bunch of difficulties. And you all know that. Because you know the options in front of you. You know the distractions in front of you. You know the obstacles in front of you. You know the hurts that sometimes are overwhelming. And the problem is that we expect it from enemies, but the hardest thing is that when it comes from those who are closest to us, sometimes those that mean the most to us, to be able to deal with people that are supposed to be there for you and they turn around and hurt you. We have one more for you. And this one is called, Now I Gotta Choose.
As a kid, parents always made a big deal about keeping promises. Mom always said, don't make a promise you can't keep. They love me, love me not. They love me. I don't understand divorce. I just don't get it. I mean, my parents weren't perfect or anything, but they made a promise, right? Till death do us part. Isn't that what they say at weddings? Till death do us part. Now I gotta choose. Do I live with Mom and listen to her complain all the time about how Dad did this, Dad did that, and how she never should have trusted him, and how he lied to her and everything? Or do I live with Dad and Stacy? Stacy. She's young enough to be my sister. They love me. They love me not. They love me. What a joke. Now I gotta choose. Dad or Mom. How am I supposed to know? I mean, both of them get on my nerves and neither of them is perfect. Anybody can tell that. But I want them both. I love them both. And all because they couldn't get along. I gotta choose. They make it sound so reasonable. We weren't right for each other. We tried, Eva. But we just drifted away. I don't even remember what we saw in each other. We couldn't make it work. Sometimes someone goes too far. There are some things you just can't forgive. I hope you don't have to learn the hard way like I did. They couldn't make it work. They made a promise. Till death do us part. And because they couldn't get along, I gotta choose. They love me not. Till death do us part. Yeah, right. Till arguing do us part. Till drifting do us part. Till we get interested in someone else do us part. Till... becomes more
If it's all leaders, could come up, please. Dan, Michelle. Ted. If you guys can come up. Quickly, come on. We're running tight on time. Alright. To maximize time. Now, Ted, if you can grab that can of pencils, pass that out. Yeah. Michelle, make sure everybody gets that. Okay. Throughout the room, you've got adult leaders that are here for you. Okay. You've got Ruth over there. You've got Melissa over here. You've got Michelle. You've got Ted. They're fine. They should be struggling with something. Okay. Yeah. What I'm asking you guys is this, okay? For the next 8 minutes, leave your neighbors alone. Okay. Hold on a second. Okay. Papers and pens. We're gonna make sure everybody got one. Okay. We've got a couple in the back that need some too. Okay. What I'm asking you is this: for the next 8 minutes, leave your neighbors alone. Okay. Don't flirt with them. Don't tell them what they did a good job. Don't talk to them about anything else. Okay. I need you guys for the next 8 minutes to leave your neighbors alone. I need you to focus on me, and I need you to focus on the paper in front of you, okay? Because see, that last skit, it's a pretty harsh picture of the choices we make, the choices we have to face. Because sometimes the decisions we face, sometimes it's because of the decisions that we make, we run into difficulties. And the truth is, sometimes in life, we have to face hard decisions and hard difficulties because of decisions other people make. So tonight we're going to close with a choice for you. So if you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to have and begin that relationship with Christ. If that interests you, on the paper you have in front of you, mark it down. I'd also encourage you to see an adult leader before you leave. Okay. Some of us tonight, though, we need to choose to love better. We need to make a choice to change the way that we act and the way we speak. We know that our words and our actions know that they don't honor God. They don't honor Christ. And right now, the choice that you're going to make, if you want to, the choice that you're going to make is that you're going to choose to live and speak different. Maybe you're going to choose to be a little more respectful, or maybe a little more caring. Perhaps you're choosing to change your language. Maybe that you're going to stop throwing around God's name in vain. Maybe you're going to stop cussing, or maybe you're going to stop joking perversely. Maybe you're going to stop gossiping and talking bad about someone when you have no intention of talking to them. Maybe you're going to start being kind to people that you've been rude or mean to. If any of those is you, check the I choose to love better option. And if you want, you can clarify what you're thinking on the back. If you're having difficulties with that, or if you want to know more, or if you want to talk with somebody about that, then please make sure that you check with an adult leader before you leave. Now, some of us in here, you either have been or you are currently being hurt right now because of people you're close with, because of people that you're, well, you know better. You have the opportunity to choose to love. Choose to love others. Choose to love your enemies, those who hurt you. Now, loving can simply mean that you're doing your best not to hate. It could simply mean that you are going to forgive. Or maybe you're just going to start praying for them. If any of those apply to you, you can check that on your form. Now, at the same time, some of us have a lot going on. And maybe we just simply cannot put into words what is going on. But we want to connect with somebody. Adult leaders are here. They want to hear from you. They want to spend time with you. Maybe
maybe you're too shy to do that. Or maybe tonight, honestly, you don't want to think about any more deep stuff or serious stuff. But you do want somebody to connect with you. If that's you, check the box. If there's someone specific you want to connect with, then write their name next to that. Okay, and then we're going to do our best to try to get this taken care of within the next week. We're going to try to get their information, your information to them. So that's why it's important that you put your name and your telephone number and email address. Because the truth is, if we can do all this right tonight, then I want to make sure that we can get this over to somebody, to people tonight. And for some of you guys that have written everything down already, again, the reason why we're asking you to write all this out is because we want to make sure that people have this in hand tonight. Okay? Now, in loving others better, we wanted to offer one last option. I wanted to make sure you guys were clear on. Around the room, or actually on that table back there, we've got names of both students who have moved away or graduated, as well as those who have not been to youth group in a long while. I'd encourage you, if you feel led to, before you leave, make sure that you write something to some of those people. Now, if you don't know who they are, don't feel like you need to write anything to anybody. Or if you know only a couple people, then feel free to pass people by and go to the next one. If you're not into writing notes, again, don't feel like you got to. But I wanted to close off with this last thought, okay? This idea of love, this idea of agape love. It's the idea that the love that God has for us, it's selfless. God has always given us, He's always pouring into us, He's always giving us options. When honestly, the majority of the time, God will get nothing out of it. Truth is, God gets nothing out of it because, I mean, He's God. That's why He's God, because He's got everything. Okay? At the same time, God's love for us is unconditional. So when we spit in His face, when we ignore Him, when we blow Him off, when we're too busy flirting instead of paying attention to Him, when we're too busy trying to make everybody else think we're something that we're not, and we blow God off, most of us, if somebody did that to us, we would take it out on them, or we'd ignore them, or we'd just throw them away. We said, forget that. You can be like that, I'm done. But God's not like that. That's not the way that God loves. The way that God loves us is unconditional. There is nothing that will keep us from God's love. But we've got to claim it. Again, this whole idea of tonight, it's a time designed for you guys to get together, to enjoy each other's company. Tonight was also not only a time to enjoy each other's company, but to be reminded of the love that God has for us. Not just to be reminded of the love that God has for us, but again, to be reminded of the love we're supposed to have for each other. If you claim Jesus to be yours, then we need to turn around and be able to show some of that selfless, unconditional love to other people. That neighbor skit, for some of you, it was in your face because you have an issue with the way you treat other people. You have an issue with how you talk with people. You have an issue of blowing people off. It's a hard thing. This is why it's so important that God calls us to come together, to encourage each other, to support each other. We need to take it up a notch. So before you leave, I'm asking that, think about that, pray about that, and we'll see what happens. On your sheets as well, though, it would be really important as we do things like tonight. It's so very important for us to get feedback to see how it's going. Let us know how it went tonight. Some of the questions on there are really broad. Feel free to fill that out. If you've got options for us, put it in. That's what it's there for.
because we cannot make it better if we don't know. At the same time, for those of you that are in leadership, for those of you that are inspiring to step it up a little, this is your group. And the only way it's going to get better is if you help make it better. Okay. Let's go ahead and we'll close in prayer. Dear God, tonight, again, some of this, it's a lot that we have to carry. Some of us are tired. Some of us are exhausted. Some of us are hurting really bad. But we talk about agape. We talk about this unfailing, unconditional, selfless love that gives unconditionally. In the midst of our hurt and our pain, remind us that your love for us is not like that. That you're bigger than that, that you're better than that. Some of us, we desperately need a touch from you tonight. We need to really know tonight that you love us. In Jesus' name, we cry out to you that you would remind us that you love us. That the times that we look in the mirror and we can't stand what we see, the times that we close our eyes and we see the people making faces at us, when we try to go to sleep and all we can hear is the negative stuff that's being said about us, and we don't feel loved at all. Dear Jesus, we cry out to you that you would remind us that you love us just the way we are. But at the same time, you love us so much, you don't want to leave us where we're at. You want to see us become the best that you made us to be, just like we've been talking about the last couple weeks. You want to restore us to our fullest, the best we can be. So Lord, we cry out to you in Jesus' name that you would remind us of your love for us. And there's some of us in here, God, we've heard this over and over and over, but there's been no change. There is no difference. We read tonight that your word tells us we can't claim to be yours if there's no change ever. And God, that's a hard thing, especially if some of us have been going to church our entire lives. But it's not about church. It's not just about doing stuff. It comes down to that personal relationship with you. Not just if we know about you, but we need to know you, and you need to know us. So God, where we're at, please work in our hearts, work in our lives, change it. Help us to have a good rest of the night. Help us to have a good rest of the week. Bring us back safely, and please be with all those that couldn't make it tonight. Again, Lord, remind them they're loved. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, everybody, before you take off, including you, Jess, I appreciate if you have a seat right here for me. Leadership, now it's time when I'd like to do what I was talking to you about earlier, so if you guys could come up, please. How many of you guys love Jackson? Raise your hand, show applause, something. Huh? I'm a what? I'm a goober. So, since tonight is about agape, we sort of thought we would turn the tables on you. Because agape is all about love. So, we wanted you to know just how much we loved you.
Oh, wait, me?
Yay!
I'll say just a little bit for a sec. Will that make you a little bit?
Yeah, okay. Yes, that one.
Okay. So we've got cake here for everyone to enjoy. You can just sit on that table right there if you want. Basically, all of our leadership and myself are going to say a few things about Jackson and what we love about Jackson so much. And then we're going to, once everyone's done, we're going to leave it open to everyone else if they happen to want to say anything about Jackson. So, Jackson, I've been working with this youth group for, a year or two now or something, and I have to say that you are the biggest part of this group. without you, we wouldn't have the youth group that we have here. Your love is just, you make it so that you try and put love into everything that you do with every single person in this room. It doesn't matter what's going on, you try to give them at least some sort of loving on at some point whenever you see them. It doesn't matter what's going on. Okay? And I want you to understand that we appreciate and we do know how much you love us. And we're standing here today to try and tell you how much we love you too. You know, and I'm really shocked and amazed at the wedding that you didn't really give us a little bit more of a ribbing. So I expected quite a lot more jokes. But out of love, he didn't. He decided to make it a little bit more out of just love than the love that he has for us. So we recognize that you sacrifice a lot to be here. You sacrifice a lot of your family time, your personal time, and your own time with God even sometimes to put this youth group and everyone here above yourself. And we love you for that, and we love you for loving us and taking care of everything and looking out for our needs as well.
Thing I love about you most is your mustache. I can't never shave it off.
It's really prickly though.
Trim it, but not shave it. Okay. I have a nice long speech here for you.
Yes, they were told to write them down so that you could have them. Several of them had to write them back out.
Four scores and 7 years ago.
There you go.
All right. But it says here, love you, Jackson. Thank you for being my earthly father when I needed it in my life. And that's my signature right there. You taught me how to write.
Aww. Is Frankie being cute?
Well, thanks for ruining the moment. Here, you can take this now.
Okay.
Oh,
that's the paper.
I got it.
She's a nice one.
Aww. That's really strange.
Wow, thank you.
Dear Daddy, thank you for being my father when I didn't have one. Know that I love you and always will. I will always be your little girl no matter how big I get. I love you so much. And sorry, my handwriting's really hard to read.
Write bigger
so much. And I forgot how to write in print. And thank you for all you've done. All you've done. For all you've done. Love you, Dad.
Good job.
Hey,
Cassandra.
Woo. I want to be
your cake.
Yes.
Jackson, I bet you're surprised that we placed a agape feast on you. Anyways, I really love that we're given this chance to express our love and appreciation for all that you do. Seriously, Jackson, I can't think of anyone else who's given me support and advice quite like you. You always listen when I need a shoulder to cry on, and you're an amazing friend in times of desperate need. I can't thank you enough for being there in my life. I honestly don't know where I would be if I didn't have your constant smile and your reassuring words to boost me back into action. You pretty much rock. And you're truly a blessing and a beautiful person. And I don't know if it's okay to call a guy beautiful, but beautiful. Thanks for simply being my friend and for adopting me and my crazy sisters into your own family. You and Michelle are really like another set of mom and dad to me. Thank you for all that you've done, and I hope you realize that you really do have a huge impact in everyone's life. Yeah. All right. Woo!
me and the group as a whole. You are always there when we need you. And it means so much to everyone that you're always there. And I just wanted to let you know that you make a huge difference in our lives. Thank you so much for everything you do. So, yeah. I appreciate your interesting sense of style and your cool facial hair. And your feel. <There you go.
laughs> how do you call that? It's with Jackson. I love you so much. You're amazing. You're like a dad to me, and you're always there when I need you. Thank you for always being there, and I know that I can always come to you. And know that it's not going to go anywhere and it's going to stay with you. Thank you for being my dad, and I love you. And P.S., I told you that game sounded dangerous. Proof.
Yeah, I guess I'm going now.
So,
I've had to say I really admire your passion and energy and your dedication and love to the group and as a high school student. It's very inspiring, and I know you really touch a lot of lives. And I just want to say thank you for those times when you're like busy but you drop everything to listen. It means a lot.
Alright, I guess I have to.
Oh, you like it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's come on.
Hello.
Ta-da.
Hey. So, I texted myself what I wanted to say to you, but you only get 160 characters, so this is really short. Hey, Jackson, I. That is it. No, actually, I'm kidding. I just want to tell you that I think that you for sure exude agape love because, like, I've never seen a harsh word come out of your mouth. I've seen loving parenting words come out of your mouth. Sherry, you're making sure what I'm talking about on that one. Tony, buddy, same. Anyway, for all the years that I've known you, you've always lived to me up. Even like through like my worst and weirdest times when I'm like not really sure what that's going on. Like I come to you and I just know I'm gonna get fantastic, amazing, like biblical advice that's gonna make perfect sense instead of the home of the Bible because like it's true. And I thank you so much for that because you've always had the ability to see through all my weird awkwardness and see who I am on the inside. And I think that's totally like the agape love that God talks about or that Jesus talks about. Somebody in the Bible talks about. Somebody famous, I'm sure. Anyway, I just want to thank you so much, and I think you're the man, dude.
All right, I'm doing something a little bit different. Oh, did you take yourself too?
No.
Jackson, you're my best friend, and I know that you sacrifice a lot to help everybody that's here. I know that you give up a lot, and I know that many times you have to put your dreams to the side because someone else has a bigger need. And so today I have a $5 Walmart gift card.
Oh, my word!
Many times I see him in Walmart looking at the movies. So you can use this to get 5 movies.
Yeah!
Yeah! This other card is to help start your dream. I heard that you've always thought about things you want to do at home, but you haven't had the money to do that, and you haven't had the ability to do a home project. So this $25 gift card from Home Depot should get you started.
As you have it correctly, Becca, the floor is now open to the rest of you.
Yes.
You don't see somebody up here, please feel free to jump up here. It's up to you. And the microphone's back here if you want to use it.
I'm naturally loud. Guys, anyway. Okay, so, Mommy Jackson, I think I've known you. Hey!
Shh!
I think I've known you for like 4 or 5 years now.
And at first, like, I was just, like, when I first moved here, I was like, oh my gosh, another church, wow. And yeah, I came from a really long church family, missionaries, pastors, you name it, I got it. But then, then I became closer friends with Sherry, and then I became closer friends with all of you. And I realized that this was not just like all the other churches. And then I started coming to youth group and all that jazz. And now, since I joined leadership and since I started like getting back into like youth group and everything, I've realized that like you are one of the people that I can come to if I really like need something. Like if there's something bothering me, I can come to you because I know not only will I get good advice from you, but like it'll also be like something that I'll be able to do. And I also feel really guilty because I didn't know about this whole leadership thing. I'm not on leadership, so. But just, and the fact that you can help with so many things, like, I can come to you about somebody else, and you can give me good advice about it, like, how to work with it, what to do about it, and then I'll be able to talk to people about, like, God, and about, like, coming to church and stuff because of what you said to me, and it's like, yes! And, like, everybody knows the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And Jesus is all good. But lately I've been thinking, what would Jackson do? I mean, seriously.
I think Jesus is a better example.
Jesus is a better example. But seriously, like, sometimes, like, all of you can feel when God is not there because you just don't feel that God is there. Because he's not physically in front of you telling you what to do. But Jackson is. He's physically there. You can physically go and talk to him. And God is a better example, no offense. But, no offense. Like, to have somebody physical there, for me at least, really helps. And I can deal with the whole, like, not seeing you, but you're there thing. And I can deal with that pretty well. But sometimes it's just like, not cutting it. So, just thanks, good boy.
Next!
What?
What?
No!
Oh,
I'm going to tell you after you. Come on, now I can do it. Go, this is bad.
That's an insult.
Go back to your mom.
Hey! Oh, hey!
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 Start the line. I was going to start a line.
Start the line.
Shh.
All right, Shmoo. What's up? I don't remember how long ago when I started coming here, but yeah, it was fun. And I just want to thank you for helping out with my senior project and procrastination and all that stuff. And the whole little skits here thingy that helps, because it's what I gotta do. So, thank you for being so loving. And Adam.
I got your flyers.
Away from me.
Shh.
amazing, loving people I've ever known in my entire life. Like, if I could, I would call you my dad, but that'd be strange.
So, I did.
Anyway,
I'm calling my dad. Okay, you guys
go. Exactly.
You can't eat that.
I want to say, I know I've had some hard times, and I just want to say thank you for being there for me through all of it, and, like, understanding all those difficult, hard questions. But beside all that point, I must say you are awesome, and you deserve all the love back. So, here you go.
Hello. We're just coming up here to say that not only have you done everything for this church, you've also done things like community service, like serve Susanville and help with Crossroads, and that we all love you very much. And, like, everybody who's come up here, you've helped them with hard times and also me. Jackson, I just want to tell you that I'm really happy that you're here because you helped me through my dad and stuff. I want to see you. My phone! Yay!
I love her.
Son, I want to stand next to the speaker. No, I don't want to stand next to the speaker. It's loud. I met you, like, right after Easter, my freshman year, so I've known you almost 3 years now. Almost. And when I first met you, I was kind of standoffish from you. I don't know why, it just didn't click with you at first. But after, like, I don't know, probably like 6 months, started talking to you more, and you've kind of grown, and I don't really see you as, like, the adult, or, I mean, you're my friend, you're my buddy, rocking the facial hair, and it's grown to love you, Jackson.
How things were before you came here, you've made such a huge difference, and I think everyone here can attest to that and agree with me. And I just want to say that through everything that I went through in high school and through all my struggles, it's been really inspirational to me. Sorry. Looking at you as someone who loves God and loves people, and your heart is just always in the right place. And I've had a lot of struggles with seeing peers and other people who don't love God like they should, or just don't live like they should, and it's always been so great to me to see you and having you as a role model. So I just want you to know that.
Anyone else? Otherwise, he's going to turn this way.
Oh, wait.
Oh, never mind.
I love you,
Chelsea. Love you, too.
Can I get off? I like your beard. No, you're gay.
You're a creepy speaker in front of you. I love you.
Okay. I love you guys to pieces. And,
goodness gracious.
Real quick, I just wanted to tell you guys thank you.
Love you.
I love you guys too very much.
Love you.
Good night, guys. If you didn't know, these things always make me uncomfy. They really do. I really don't like doing that. It makes me heebie-jeebie. So, in either case, I just wanted to tell you guys thank you. You guys are amazing. We were supposed to have a half an hour where you guys could just chill. So, wow. Thank you, guys. Just for as long as you guys can be here, you know, feel free to chill and hang out. Otherwise, have an amazing rest of the night and an amazing rest of the week. again, if you guys can help, stick around and help clean up, obviously that's good. But don't sweat that. Thank you guys a ton, and we'll see you guys later. Thanks. Oh, and if you have any more of these forms, we could give it to one of the adult leaders or myself, that'd be amazing. Thank you. The more we have, the better we can make it next year.